نحمد ونصلي على رسوله الكريم اما بعد قال الله تعالى في القران المجيد اعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ان الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا ايها الذين امنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا مولانا محمد مهد الجود والكرم اللهم صل على سيدنا مولانا محمد وعلي الفضل والبر اللهم صل على سيدنا مولانا محمد وعلي وصحبه
Subhanahu wa ta'ala has created insan, human being. Soil, from soil from the earth, Allah ta'ala created. At that time there was no value for insan. In front of him there was another creation made of light, Nurani, the angels, Malaika. And this creation, human being made of soil, out of the earth, clay. Then Allah Ta'ala breathed the spirit, ruh, into the insan. When the ruh was blown into the human being, then that makhluk that was made, it became a unique form of creation. And just as Allah's ruh went into the insan, when the soul was breathed into the insan, then alongside that, this also was arranged and came into being. Allah Ta'ala then stated that your Rabb, your Creator, He is closer to you than your own jugular vein. That's the qurb, the nearness that Allah Ta'ala has bestowed to the human being. So close, so much close. And then, this was in the destiny of man to come onto the earth, planet earth. And Allah Ta'ala sent the human being onto earth. Despite being so close, even then, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so close to his servant, that after sending him onto earth, Allah gave the hukam, the order, that seek my qurb, seek my nearness. Unique point. Despite being so close already, but so far that we must seek Allah. This is also a unique point, that if Allah is already so close, that He's closer than our jugular vein, then how can a human being not seek Allah Ta'ala? How can he not attain Allah's nearness? What can be the reason that a person fails to find Allah's nearness? Maybe the reason could be that he doesn't have iman, the human being. He doesn't have iman, faith, and that's why he can't find Allah's nearness or get the connection with Allah. Okay, let's say he's got iman then, the human being, faith. Now what's the reason that that person's far from Allah? That he's far from Allah's qurb, that he's far from Allah's nearness, far from Allah's connection, he cannot attain the irfan. He's got iman, he's got faith. So why can't he get Allah's nearness? This is the question. Okay, maybe the answer for this can come also, that this person is weak in ibadat, in worship, the means Allah gave us, the actions that earn Allah's nearness, that take us to Allah's closeness. Okay, so we'll accept this, that a person does ibadah then. He worships a lot, lots of worship, ibadah. Even then, why is he far from Allah? Now, what's the reason? These questions, despite this answer, he's far from Allah. So he's got iman, and despite having ibadah, worship, he's far. Do you understand what I'm saying? Or do you understand what I'm saying? What's the reason then the person is still far? That he does a lot of worship, ibadah, an individual. High grade worship the person carries out. Lots of ibadah the person's doing. Even then he doesn't get Allah's nearness. Even then he doesn't attain Allah's qurb, the human being. So what's the reason for this then? The reason then can only be that this ibadah, worship this person's implementing, there's no action really in his amal. This ibadah that he thinks he's doing, it's not complete ibadah. Most definitely, after this ibadah, the human being should attain Allah's nearness, Allah's irfan, Allah's qurb should be attained. Most definitely, after that ibadah. How? That we, when we do worship, ibadah, practical worship, it is incomplete. Incomplete. In our eyes, in our minds, what is ibadah that we do, worship? And we do a lot of it. Pray salah, fasting, hajj and zakat, and nafal, voluntary actions, actions, extra actions, optional. This is what we call ibadah, isn't it? Worship. And on this we put a lot of emphasis, a lot of importance, and that's why we won't get Allah's nearness. That's why we won't get the connection with Allah. We won't get the qurb of Allah. Do you understand what I'm saying, or you don't understand what I'm saying? Yes. Because we are students, aren't we? All of us. We're discussing the situation that why don't I get Allah's nearness after doing so much worship? Allah's far from me. Why? That lots of salah is a great action, prayer. And it's faraid, the compulsory actions are fantastic actions. Brilliant actions. And then nafal, I pray alongside that in parallel, at the same time. On top of that, in addition. To find Allah, namaz itself is enough. Salah is enough on its own. On its own. Salah is such a great worship. Salah is such a great ibadah. Is a guarantee that Allah has given. That prostrate to me, sajda, and find me. That's what Allah Ta'ala says. Actually, in fact, the situation is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is attained via the faraid, the compulsory actions, not through nawafil. Understand the point. Understand the point. Allah ta'ala's nearness is attained through the faraid, compulsory, not through nafil, not through extra. Nafil, voluntary, what is the effect of the nafil? That when you get Allah ta'ala's nearness through the faraid, compulsory, Allah's qurb, then the nafl, it can enhance it, it can strengthen it. But you will only find Allah through faraid, remember this, through the compulsory deeds. Nafl serves to strengthen it. Because it doesn't matter how many nafl you pray, it cannot compare to any fard salah. Any fard cannot, one fard, you cannot combine and compare all the nafl to the fard. Doesn't matter how much nawafil you implement, but you cannot compare to a fard, because fard equals fard. Compulsory. So finding Allah is via the fard. The nawafil, they strengthen that compulsory action, make it closer, elevate the status more, increase the rank more, the level more. Maybe the things that are lacking are plugged, the gaps are plugged through nafil. But even if you don't pray nawafil, then fard is enough. It is a lot, fard. Do you understand what I'm saying? Fard is a lot, is sufficient. It is sufficient. So what we think, we, is that we won't find through fard, through nafil. So we then emphasize so much on the nawafil, voluntary, extra actions, optional actions, kathir. Why? Because we have less trust and hope on our fard. Say subhanallah. We don't have trust or hope. Shaitan has diminished our hope and faith in the fard. Rather, we should be emphasizing more on what? The fard. We should be emphasizing on the fard. we should be so much making effort on the fard. But what we do is that we run a lot towards the nawafil, so much nafil ibadah, voluntary worship, thinking this, that yaar, we won't get through fard, Allah Ta'ala, so let's go towards the nafil. This is also thoughts and concepts that come into the mind of a person. Yes, because shaitan, he attacks in a weird way. You can never achieve this way, my friends. If you find Allah, you can only find through fard. Remember this. The qurb, this is a point that's come in between. That don't leave the fard. You must strengthen and elevate your fard action. You must trust your fard. And fard is itself everything. Remember this. Faraid is a brilliant thing. The compulsory deeds. So despite this, we don't find Allah's nearness. After fard actions, we don't get close to Allah. What's the reason? The reason is one. That what we consider is ibadah, this is not ibadah in itself. There are two parts to ibadah, to worship. How many parts are there? How many juz? Two parts to ibadah, to worship. Two parts. And until you don't implement both parts, then your ibadah is not complete, and that's why we don't find Allah. We are just implementing one part of ibadah, one part of worship, which is salah, fasting, zakah, etc. But the other part of ibadah, worship, we don't go towards that. And that's as important, rather it's very important, the other part, the other component of ibadah, two components. Just like you are riding a cycle, you can't ride a bicycle with one wheel. If you drive a car, you need the four wheels. If you're riding a bicycle, you need two wheels. Without that, can you? So if you're doing ibadah, how can you do ibadah on one wheel? How will you find Allah when the other wheel is missing? Our ibadah is not complete. It's not going towards completion, totality. Just like these ibadah, salah, fasting, hajj, zakah, etc. So the other component of ibadah is what? What's the other component? The second component. That's also important. What is that? Tell me. You tell me. You must know. But the importance is more. I don't know where your importance is. As far as I understand, we don't have the importance on the second component. And what is that? The second component of worship. What is that? Rejection of the sins. Rejection of ma'asi. Rejecting the vice. This is ibadah. This is worship. This is the second part of worship. There are two parts of worship. Just as salah, fasting, hajj, zakah of ibadah, in the same way the other form of worship is to reject the sins, to shun the sins, to depart from the sins. Do you understand what I'm saying? We give a lot of emphasis to practical worship, and we should, alhamdulillah. Just like that is fard, this is also fard. To reject the sins is also fard, my brothers. Praying salah, we keep on praying salah, keep on giving zakat. We've done so much. We've done so much of that. We've done so much. I've told you, isn't it? Okay, there are five salahs. That's enough. That's sufficient. Alhamdulillah. Those people, we should be those who do that. But we go so much in that tahajjud salah, nawafil, ishraq, tahajjud. The person starts to implement tahajjud. He wakes up at tahajjud time. This is the case, isn't it? Hajj, one is fard in the lifetime, one hajj. But everyone, he gets the title al-hajj, so many hajj he has performed in his life, so many hajj he has done. But here on this side, when Allah Ta'ala says that reject the sins, leave the sins, that there's no emphasis on this, no hard work on this component. There's no hard work here, on effort. So then how would we find Allah, my brothers? What a trick and game shaitan's played with us. That one part of ibadah, and he's put his hand on it, and he's made us work hard on just one part, which is practical worship. Totally you're doing right what you're doing, but that second part, you can't drive the car with one wheel. Can you drive the car with one wheel? Or the bike with one wheel? If it will run with one wheel, somebody will drop, fall in the ditch, fall into a crack, it will hit somebody, it will knock somebody, because you're not riding properly. So this ibadah, worship, we're finding Allah, Allah's irfan, Allah's qurb. We can't find it. We can't. And the reason for that is this. وَجَهَدُوا فِينَ Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, the pious predecessors have said this, that mujahidah, hard work isn't just praying, salah is hard work. The real hard work and effort is to reject ma'asi. This is the real hard work and effort to do. That if you do become a musalli and you start becoming a namazi very quickly, and very quickly you become a person who observes fast, and Ramadan's coming very soon, inshallah, and everyone with passion and desire will keep the fast, and it's not hard to do hajj either, to go for hajj, and giving zakat is no problem, but to leave backbiting is a big problem. Me, I see you colleagues are with me and I'm with you as well, alhamdulillah. 15 years have passed, backbiting of people does not disappear. We do these tazkiyah sheets. What reason do we do this for? The habit of backbiting. That's why we do this. The tazkiyah sheets, through this we will attain the Rabb, our nearness to our Lord. Yes, through the tazkiyah system. The sheet system. This is the real facts I'm telling you that I've heard from our pious predecessors. I'm sharing with you, I'm presenting your service. Look at the big deception in our minds and with us. Deception. You pray salah, very nice salah, everything you did after praying salah, you swore at somebody, you broke somebody's rights, where's your salah gone? Because you haven't rejected the sins. Why? Because we don't have any realization that this is necessary for us. Yes, we have totally crushed that second component of ibadah. There was a pious elder, he woke up in the morning for salah, and the lota, his vessel, he put it there to fill it up under the tap where the water is. And after a while he came and the vessel wasn't complete with the water. He was a bit surprised. What's happening here? Then he put it underneath, then fill up again. And he said the reason he picked up the vessel underneath it, at the bottom was a hole. So on the top the water's going in, but at the bottom there's a hole and it's leaking out the water. So the pious elder, he just sat there because the understanding the status of the walis of Allah is very great, and he started to cry. Is this the condition of my worship as well? This example I've just seen? That we just bypass everything with our ibadah, thinking that's enough. The real mujahid, the hard work of a human being, is what? Is to reject the bad actions. The 5 times salah is there, but how many paths are there towards sin? Sins of eye, sins of the mouth, sins of the hand, sins of the feet, sins of your mind, your thoughts, sin upon sin upon sin. Everywhere. This here, that we have been sent to this earth, planet earth, and Allah Ta'ala started our life with what? That Allah Ta'ala gave the example of Adam alayhi salam first, he gave the example. Didn't he? Yes. The first, the beginning of Allah Ta'ala's marifat was that Allah said, you will find me, my name is the Bani Adam, you will find me in the same way. By sending to the earth, ajeeb, beautiful creation Allah created. But the surprising thing is this is where we fall into deception. The Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that as the time passes further away from the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the more the issue will become spoiled. As we can see, the time is getting further away. The destruction will start. People say that there's progress and advancement. Before, people used to travel on camels, now they're in planes. So we've advanced. Before, we used to walk, now we're traveling in cars. So this is the better generation, people say. No, it isn't. What was the best? All those things through which Allah Ta'ala was found, all those things will finish, because the sins will increase and immodesty will increase. Sins will increase. And then those sins, the realization of the sins will end, because shaitan will do his full work. And there's no danger. There's no danger. He won't interfere in any part of your life. The masjids will be constructed beautifully, nice printed Qurans and high level speeches, conferences and high level melodious qiraat. And Basit will do great qiraat, and this person will do great qiraat, and people reading the Quran very eloquently, nicely. And in this era, there will be everything looking nice. But alongside that in somehow, shaitan's plan is somehow, I don't want this human being to be introduced to Allah. This is his mission. And he has an enmity with me. Just one enmity he's got with me, that he doesn't want me to meet Allah. Every man should be alert with this fact and think that shaitan does not want me to meet Allah. And he has one path to achieve that. What's that path? That plan. The same way that he presented the trap, the plan to us, Adam alayhi salam, he'll do the same to us. The same. So when he injected the waswasa, the thought, the negative thought, and then Adam alayhi salam came down from the heavens to here. So when I get up in the morning, I should realize crystal clear, I should be aware 100% that to meet Allah, that today I need to, every way, every method, I need to save myself from the sins. That's when we understand. That's yes, ihdina siratul mustaqim. That's when a person's on ihdina siratul mustaqim. That's the real right path, the straight path. Fikr-e akhira, in reality, the concern for the hereafter is that you should have a thought process in your mind that you all worried about sins, women folk and men folk. Whoever is a Muslim, he should believe this point. But shaitan doesn't allow us to believe, no, I've prayed salah, I've done ibadah, I've done this worship, I've done this worship. We think that's enough. But in reality, the sin, the question doesn't arise that a person sins and he attains Allah's nearness. Question doesn't arise. You can try as hard as you want. Just like I said to you in the beginning, that ibadah is worship, physical worship, but this ibadah we don't have. The second part of worship, shunning the sins, it's on a very low level. Very low level. And how many doors are there to do this worship? So many doors. The second component of worship, ibadah, leaving the sins. There are many, many ways to do this. So the biggest mujahid, the hard work, my friends, is what? To reject the sins, to reject the vice, to reject the bad actions. If you can create this concern for this in your minds, in your lives, alhamdulillah, then consider your destination has come close to you. If you don't feel this, if you don't think about that sin is anything, then your whole life you will remain destroyed. Your whole life is a waste. You're in great deception that you're just doing physical worship and not shunning the sins. Shaitan has done his work. He has succeeded. Mu'min's life, the faithful person's life, is such like he is walking on a path of nettles and thorns and he is to save himself from the sins. This is called taqwa. What is the definition of muttaqi? What is the definition of taqwa? So much caution should come into the life of a believer that I must save myself from disobeying Allah. Caution, caution. But we run more after ibadah, physical worship. Does that give a person the title of muttaqi? Do you understand what I'm saying or do you not understand what I'm saying? My friends, create this awareness. Praying salah 5 times a day is enough. We have no need to do nafl after that. Nafl salah. I tell you, no need at all. It's sufficient. 5 times salah. One salah, alhamdulillah, fard salah. Fard salah. Just pray it the way it should be prayed. That one fard salah. In which way? That you should save yourself from the sins and observe that salah. That salah, you must protect that salah. How do you protect your salah? By not practicing any sins after it. Then you see the color and effect of that salah, that how through that one fard salah, you find Allah. All day long, we're doing other actions, nafl, optional, but we don't find Allah. Why? Because we're free. We have detached, we've got takabur inside us, pride inside us, fraud inside us, lying inside us, riya inside us, and backbiting inside us. And we think that these are not sins. We don't consider these as sins. Love of the world is inside us. Hubbe dunya is inside us. And each and every sin, if we pick up the history, so dangerous is each and every sin that I've mentioned that you cannot imagine how dangerous it is. Is this not mujahida, hard work to leave the sins? This is the definition of mujahida. Each and every sin, bring it out of your body, alhamdulillah. Then see how lightweight you become, the human being. Lying comes out, fraud comes out, enmities come out, pride comes out, hasad comes out, envy comes out. If all of these are extracted from your body, then you'll become a unique human being. And after that, when you pray one fard salah, then you have no need for nafal prayers or any nafal actions. Every action of yours becomes nafal, then you yourself, your life becomes fantastic. And this was the shan of the great people. The glory of the name. What is the wali of Allah's life apart from this? This is the path to meet Allah. This is the definition of hard work to meet Allah. Am I right or am I wrong? Tell me. Yes, the real path. But look at the deception we've been placed into. How much of our life we've wasted. We are so scared of analyzing our lives. Allah says, analyze yourself. Weigh yourself. Do a critique of yourself. Do you understand what I'm saying? Shall I continue? Now, we do mujahid on this now. Say subhanallah. Yeah, let's physically implement this now. Alright, now we need to work hard. Are you ready now to work hard? Will you do hard work? Will you do hard work to leave the sins? Very easy, alhamdulillah, very easy. Shall I tell you how to do it? Shall I explain? Then listen. Now you've understood the first point. What is our function? Is that we need to find Allah's nearness. We need to earn a paradise. We need to become beloved servants of Allah. That's our objective of life. We need to attain it. And how will we attain that? By leaving the maasi, leaving the sins. Do you now understand the importance of leaving the vice, evil? The how essential it is to leave the sins, to shun the sins, isn't it? Yes. Now, don't fall into this trap now after today. No, I'm practicing nafil actions. Never say this. Now, we have one target in life, that I must shun the sins. First point. The first point of mujahida on this path. All of us have to practice this now, yeah? We need to work hard to achieve this. So after the faraid, after praying salah, the first point, my friends, Allah Ta'ala's grace and mercy is given to us, that is tawbah, repentance. What is the action? Tawbah. Repentance. What a beautiful thing Allah has given us. The whole society Allah is protecting. Allah has given us some actions to do. They are brilliant actions Allah has given us to do, to practice, if we do them in the right way. What is it Allah has given to us? First point of mujahida. Have we got any value of tawbah? Yes. Yeah, we think if sins are nothing, then what's tawbah for us? What do we know about tawbah? Repentance. Allah's Nabi, hundreds of times over in one place, would sit down and repeat his tawbah. This is the ta'leem, education he gave to us. Did the Prophet of Allah need to do tawbah? His status was so high. And what is the ta'leem, the education he gave to us? That this is not tawbah, that you just hold a tasbih, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. This does not mean repentance. This is just a wazifa, recitation, a prayer. This is just wazifa, repetition. Through this, you don't do tawbah. Your sins are not finished via this. This just becomes a repetition, a habit. Subhanallah, alhamdulillah, to read this, astaghfirullah. What is tawbah? Tawbah, to do tawbah, repentance, there are a few conditions. First condition is niyyah, intention, that I want to leave sins. Well, I've done a sin, that sin's in front of me. I'm making niyyah, I want to leave this sin, I want to reject the sin. Then the second condition of tawbah, you have to make, after the intention, the thought process that I won't repeat this sin again. Then the third condition, that I am not going to delay, when I get a chance in life. Immediately I'll shun this sin. When you have these three conditions, then that becomes tawbatan nasuh for that human being. Not through tasbih, not through repetition. Three conditions. So the first condition is tawbah. Tawbah, you've committed a sin. You've done a sin. After sinning, what do we need to do? We need to do tawbah, repent. How many times? As many times you do the sin, say subhanallah, you do tawbah. 10 times do tawbah. 15 times sin, 15 times do tawbah. So tawbah, what's the game here now? What's the situation now? Listen here carefully. When the human being does tawbah, when he repents after committing a sin, then he commits a sin again. Then he does tawbah again, he prays salah, comes back, then he leaves salah. One person, I mean, why have you left salah? He said, what's the point of praying salah? I commit the sins, then I commit the sins again, then I commit the sins again, then I make a mistake again. I don't feel like praying salah now. So weird game that shaitan has played with that person. Do you understand what I'm saying? Never get scared. Never get scared. The shaitan injects into you the lack of hope and despondent. Oh, I've committed sin. I'm a waste of space. I'm free now. I can't pray now. Why? Behind this, subhanAllah. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what did he say? That look, Allah Ta'ala said, that O Bani Adam, that you are human beings, but the best person is that person who after sinning repents. Subhanallah. In other words, you are prone to error, you are prone to sins, you will commit sins, definitely, because you are sent to the earth and you came attached, the sins are attached to you, near to you, and this is the way of your promotion. This is the secret behind your promotion. This is how you'll find my nearness, Allah says. But, you will be the best person who will manufacture the solution that when you commit an error, then after committing the error, you become a better person after that. So why should we leave tawbah then? Why should we leave repentance? It's shaitan who makes us lose hope. Oh, there's no point now, you're sinful. Totally, there is benefit. There is benefit. And we keep doing the amal. You're sinning, don't care. Do tawbah again. Repent again. Repent again. Then you come in error again, do tawbah again. 100 times you sin, 100 times do tawbah. 100 times do tawbah. Never lose hope, never give up regards to tawbah. Never. Never lose hope, never give up regards to the big secret behind tawbah. Big secret. That every moment a human being's alert when he sees a sin, oh, this is a sin. Oh, I've committed a sin, I've committed this sin, I've committed this sin. Every second he remembers, I've committed, as soon as he commits a sin, repent. Sins of the eyes, does tawbah. Sin from the mouth, does tawbah. Sin with the hand, does tawbah. Big sin he commits, does tawbah straight away after it. Commit the tawbah. Why? Because the good news comes when you do tawbah. Yes, yes, that this person, he has made up for his sin because he's done tawbah. So don't stop yourself. You have to stop yourself, yes. But you commit the sin by mistake. You stop yourself, but you make the mistake. You commit the sin. Allah Ta'ala says, fine, at least you're trying. At least this individual is trying. He's trying, he's making effort. It's not that he's not making effort. We have to keep making effort. Wajahad. So the first point is that there is that to reject the sins, the first step is what? Tawbah, to repent. In all ways and forms, keep on doing tawbah. Keep repenting. From tawbah, a person should never fail to do tawbah. Never stop doing tawbah. Doesn't matter how many times you have to do tawbah, do it. Imam Ghazali wrote that and one individual, he kept on trying. And he'd do sins, then he'd do tawbah again, he'd commit sins again, he'd do tawbah again. And then he passes away. Imam Ghazali has written this. And after dying, he's presented to Allah, that individual. And in that same way, after doing tawbah, committed sins, then did tawbah again, then sins, then tawbah, then sins, just fluctuating. Sins, then tawbah. So, he was presented in front of Allah, and Allah saw him. And Allah stated, because he said, oh, I'm gone, I'm going into hell, I've failed. He thought, yes, he had this concept that I committed sins continuously, and I died in that manner. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stated that this person, send him to paradise, this person. And Allah said that the reason for him going to paradise is only this, that his style of tawbah, I really liked it, Allah ta'ala says. I really liked his style of tawbah. He committed sins, he wouldn't step back, he'd come running back to me, Allah says. Allah forgive me. Such a fantastic point this is. That Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that the person who repents after sinning, if he repents after sinning, in other words, he commits a sin, he repents, does tawbah, he is such like he didn't even commit the sin in the first place. That's how purified he is. He commits the sin, but then he does tawbah, he repents. It's like he didn't even commit the sin in the first place. He's wiped his slate clean. So my brothers, our mujahidah, hard work, rejection of sin starts from where? Step number one equals tawbah. You do the sin, do tawbah. Don't step back from repentance. We will commit sins, sins of the tongue. Don't hide the sins. Second point now. To reject the sins. Step number one was tawbah. Step two. Never consider any sin as small. This is a dangerous mindset. Dangerous mindset. Biggest action of shaitan on a human being is that he reduces the sin to a minor, minuscule thing. But in reality, every sin will take a person to hell. Remember this. Remember this. Because a person cannot go into paradise with a sin. Even if a spot of sins on him, Allah say, first wash this person via Jahannam hellfire, purify this sin. So the person of sin cannot go to paradise. He cannot. He needs a clean sheet to go into paradise. So every sin will take a human being to Jahannam. So how can a sin be a small sin? Jahannam is there. You know how big is and severe intense is the heat, the fire. So the biggest point here is that never consider a sin as so called small. Oh, this is a minor. Because I've done so much worship, I've done so much dhikr, I've said so much Quran, read so much Quran. Totally not. Rather, he has wasted his efforts via doing this sin. He has wasted his ibadah. He's wasted it down the drain. Never consider a sin as a minor. This is a very dangerous mindset if you have this. Dangerous mindset. So never consider a sin. No sin is small. Remember this. No sin is small. Never consider a sin, any sin as small, minor. If you consider a sin as a minor, then number one, you won't do tawbah from that sin. Number two, you will keep repeating that sin. You will become habitual of that sin. There will be no importance of that sin in your mind. And that's the game that's being played today with us. In this day and age, the biggest problem, this is the era, generation of Qiyamah. This is the biggest, you can failure that the sin is not a sin in our minds, in our concepts, in our mindsets. The biggest sin, he says, no, it's not a sin, such a day and age, the dunya we're living in, that was an olden days, where in the new days, there were good days. People speak like this. This, permanently their mindset, oh no, that were the good days, in those days they didn't have this hardship, that hardship. Now we're living in the science age, progressive age, modern age. The sin that's declared, my friends, in the first day is still a sin right now, it's not small. It is not small. If you consider a sin as small, then this life you won't do tawbah. If you commit the sin, consider it's a massive sin, and this sin has taken me to hellfire. And go and do tawbah in Allah's presence and cry with sincerity and fear and be afraid. The more you have this, when you do tawbah, the more Allah will be pleased with that human being, that he's doing mujahidah, he's working hard. So sin, step number one, we must do tawbah, repeatedly do tawbah. Don't consider, step two, don't consider the sin as a minor. This is mujahidah. This is the way to reject the sins. And then the most important point now, step. Next step. Most important is that all the things I've explained to you prior to reject the sins, all the things I've explained to you, to reject the sins, all of these steps will succeed at that time, will become possible when you create a connection with someone for self-improvement. Otherwise, you cannot travel on this path. On your own, the sole student cannot do Islah, rectify himself. Otherwise, Allah would not have announced in the Quran, "Kunu ma'as sadiqeen," that go and find the good people, the sincere people. A human being is corrected when he is, whilst he's in the good company of a person who's good. That's why this tradition started from the time of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and continued to lay. This is a sunnah, the walis of Allah, they've come to earth, they have murid, students, you have the sheikh, the student, the khanka, the place where you go to purify. So for what reason are we doing all of this? What ibadah? It is for this ibadah that we are doing all of this, to reject the sins. The ibadah, the worship of rejecting the sins, that's why you go to the shaykh. There's no other objective of finding a teacher and spending time in his company, because this ibadah, worship of rejecting sins, just like praying salah in jama'ah in the masjid, without that you cannot pray salah. Can you pray salah without jama'ah in the masjid? You must construct the masjid for jama'ah. You must give the adhan, so to call the people for jama'ah congregation in the masjid. Just like that is ibadah. Wherever you go, four musallis gather together, jamaat khana, let's make a place of prayer, a masjid. That's the glory of the masjid, for this prayer of salah. Yeah, to pray salah, you cannot do hajj. Second is by being at home. You must travel. This is the sign. You must go to the Kaaba to do the hajj. Or is it not the case? Same way, hajj, Allah has given ibadah, there are conditions. Physically you have to travel. So to reject the sins, there are conditions. That to do your islah, to rectify, improve yourself as a human being, you must go to a pious person. That's the condition. Just like the condition for salah, masjid, hajj, go. That's why I said, if you have a sheikh, and you are not, he's far from you, distant, if he's distant physically, then what you need to do is, you need to find some physical contact with a sheikh. Otherwise your objective ends if you are far and distant from the teacher. So this thing is such that a sin, a person cannot extract his sins himself until he doesn't stand in front of a mirror, another mirror, he cannot see his defects, the individual, until he's not in front of a mirror. All the defects are identified and extracted by the sheikh, the teacher. He will attract them by love or tenderness or mild mannered. Every sheikh has his own style. Every sheikh has his tariqah and his effect and style. But the effect is the same. That the murid, he obeys the instruction and he's a murid, the student, with the intention I want to be improved. And if this rejection of sins in my life through which I will find Allah's nearness. As I explained to you during this session prior, that how do we find Allah? By rejecting the sins, the ibadah of rejecting the sins, that's the only way we'll find Allah. If we're not doing this ibadah, then all the other ibadah we're doing, physical worship, also gets destroyed. It's a waste of time. So for this purpose, to reject the sins, for this ibadah of rejecting the sins, the vice, the evil, the most important step is to create the spiritual connection with the teacher. Find a wali Allah, friend of Allah, go to his company and assign yourself to his company and request him to do your islah and establish that relationship. And then his tariqah, that teacher, through whatever tariqah he advises you to reject the sins, he wants to bring you up the sins, then follow that tariqah, that methodology. And slowly, slowly, gradually, gradually, just like Imam Ghazali, he gave us this thing. What a beautiful example he gave. That Allah Ta'ala looks at the efforts of the human being, the efforts, the hard work. Allah Ta'ala is looking at your effort, that he keeps on trying, he's making hard work and effort, and he's adopted the path. He's looking for me, he's going on that path I explained to him. Okay, he's working hard, and he couldn't get all the sins out of his life, despite that. And he kept trying, but he couldn't get rid of all the sins. Then what happens eventually, just like I explained to you, Allah Ta'ala will say, that I like the style of this person, tawbah, sa'im mashkura. Allah says, I really liked his working hard. And that's what we need, isn't it? Eventually, is Allah's acceptance and pleasure, so we're saved from hell. So, I put my hand, my friends, by just sitting down, putting our hands on our knees and giving up, we can't get Jannah. Through our own choice, we can't get Jannah. It's not our choice and opinion, we must follow Allah's choice and Allah's opinion. Allah's selection. We need to follow Allah's direction. If you follow the path that you've drawn yourself, you'll follow your nerves, prayed salah, oh I did this, I'm fine, I've become this, I'm this. Peak talk is not enough in deen. We need to see what is Allah asking for, what does he want, what's the tariqah, the conditions he's given to us. And we need to find the solution for those conditions. Physically, those whose nafs are big and fat, they have kibbar and pride and takabbur, they don't follow this path, the poor souls. Why? Because they don't want to go to a teacher. They don't want to put their hand into another hand, teacher's hand and obey the instructions. This is the Fir'aun that's inside us, embedded inside us. We will accept everything. You say, it's fine, I'll go to Jahannam. Oh, if I'm given forgiveness, fine, but I don't want to have a teacher. I don't want to follow anyone's instructions because of kibbar. Shaitaniyat doesn't allow us to submit. To accept somebody superior, despite knowing, despite recognizing the person is superior and is a teacher. We don't want to do islah. Look at the zulm we're doing on our own selves. All the points I've made today, my brothers, tell me, are these not according to Quran and Hadith? Are they not in accordance to Quran and Hadith? Then why are we restricting ourselves? What's preventing us still? This is kibr. This is takabbur. And the person who has kibr, he cannot even smell the fragrance of paradise. Where's he going to smell it from? So biggest kibar, pride inside a person, is that he is staunch and stubborn on his sins. I'm not going to leave this sin, just like Pharaoh. I'm fine, I have no need. He is not fine at all, that person. He can stand on the roof of the Kaaba, and if he's not doing the salah the way Quran has prescribed, he can never be improved, that person. Despite being on the roof of the Kaaba, the question doesn't arise that he can be improved. He's in deception and darkness, that individual. He's in severe darkness, that individual. So, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us these conditions. Allah ta'ala has explained to us that do my ibadah, worship. Allah says, find me, find my nearness. And where should you find me? Allah says, I'm closer to you than your jugular vein. Subhanallah, as I said in the beginning. Allah says, I'm closer to you than your own jugular vein. So for this, we need, Allah has given us an ibadah and worship. Through worship, Allah says, find me. And why are we not finding Allah through physical worship? Because we don't know what is the real worship. There are two parts to worship. Two parts to worship, two components. One is the part, fasting, hajj, zakat and prayer. But the second worship is rejection of the sins. I'm repeating again to you, summarizing. Alhamdulillah. To leave the sins. This is ibadah. We are doing the first part of ibadah, we're not doing the second ibadah. So the car cannot be driven on one wheel. The bicycle cannot be ridden on one wheel. We're just doing one. Fard ain it is to reject the sins. Just like salah is fard, it's fard to leave lying, to leave backbiting, to leave haram. It's fard. Compulsory. Compulsory. to leave bad akhlaq. Yes, big sins. So how do we leave the sin? Step number one, remember, do tawbah. And then the tariq of tawbah has been given to us, how to repent. This is, isn't it? This is all the points that we discussed today. Allah has given us the method of tawbah. How to repent, do solid tawbah, true tawbah, sincere tawbah. Don't give up, do tawbah time and time again. Keep on doing tawbah. If you sin again, do tawbah again. If you sin again, do tawbah again. Don't stop from doing tawbah ever. Never stop, never cease. So all of these points, how will we attain this? How? I'll explain to you. Tawbah, rejecting sins, where will we attain this? Through sohbat of the shaykh, company of the teacher. Must have. So first of all, find a wali Allah, find a teacher, friend of Allah. Go for what intention? Not to become pious yourself, not to attain marifat, not to see miracles, not to get dunya, material things. For which reason do we go to? For that we want to save ourselves from Jahannam. My teacher, please do my islah, rectify me. And for this, every teacher, shaykh has his own method. Those individuals who have come to me, students, women folk, men folk. Then my tariqah, follow that tariqah. If you follow that tariqah, you are successful. If you don't follow my tariqah, then I cannot say that you will attain success. You are wasting your time. What is my tariqah? My method, tazkiyah nafs, purifying the nafs, the desires. My tariqah is tazkiyah, purification of the desires. If you're with me, students, listen carefully, clearly. Follow my tariqah, otherwise go to another sheikh. Don't waste your time. No benefit just doing dhikr, shikr, etc. I'm telling you clearly. No. Don't waste your time. If you're coming to me, follow my tariqah, my method. My tariqah is what? My method is what? Tazkiyah, purification. I don't say this to you that you'll leave the sins, etc. I say no. As I'm saying, do it inshallah, the sins, you will reject them. You will reject them. They will leave them. That's why you're with me. But follow my tariqah, my methodology, what I prescribe. No, he does this. He says that if you want to falah, he says this, that, then go to those people. Don't come to me. If you come to me, they come with that method, implementation, you have to do amal on my prescription, you'll get benefit. Otherwise, you won't get no benefit. I'll tell you that right now. This is not benefiting. I've seen a dream. I've seen this vision, miracles, angels have come. This we do not define as benefit. Benefit is what? Subhanallah. The whole day passes and you don't backbite against anybody. That's success. You don't lie from your mouth the whole day. That's success. In your heart, you have no love of the dunya. You don't run around begging. You don't have greed of the dunya in your heart. And you don't run away like a headless chicken. No, fine, what I've got today, next day we'll see what happens. If this comes into your life, this emotional feeling should come into the human being. That is the mu'min, the believer. And it doesn't come because we don't work hard, so how will it come? That real hard work, that's why you go to the shaykh, that I can develop an emotion, so I don't care what's coming. If it's not coming, no problem. My life is passing smoothly. Alhamdulillah. This doesn't happen by saying. This happens by doing. Not by saying, by doing. Do you understand what I'm saying? So if you come to me as students, my brothers, women folk, men folk, what reason have you come? You haven't come to become a sheikh yourself, not to become a wali wala, not to become a kutab. No, you've come to me as a student to do your islah, to improve yourself. So I also went to do my islah when I went to my teacher. Until today, I haven't become a wali. I don't know what is a wali. I don't know anything of this. No kashf, no karamat, no vision. Nothing. You don't understand what I'm saying? So my tariqah, my method is what? Tazkiyah, purification. Purification, the main thing in our midst. Two things, my brothers, listen carefully so that I can clearly explain to you. In my tariqah, my method, my prescription, the advice I give, there are two things we do. Two things. First thing is to reject the sins, leave the sins. Second step, dhikrullah. Dhikrullah. These are two parts are very important. When these two actions come into the human being, then what is the result he attains? I'll tell you straight away. The result immediately will come. If it doesn't, then these two are weak in your life. Do you understand what I'm saying? So we do two things. Tazkiyah, purification. How? By rejecting the sins, rejecting vice. And second part is a lot of dhikr, dhikr kathir. So a person who doesn't do these two things, then if you do them properly, you'll see the result. What will be the result? Ittaba'i sunnat, then you'll obey the sunnah. Subhanallah. You understand? So I do islah, I do tazkiyah. How do you do tazkiyah? By rejecting the sins, lot of dhikr. And if you do this, you'll follow sunnah. And eating, drinking, walking, talking, traveling, sitting, sleeping will be complete with sunnah. And without that, you will not be content. You will see the physical result of the sunnah in your life if you do these two things. Reject the sins and dhikr kathir. So we do dhikr kathir. And for rejecting the sins, what do we do? What's my tarbiyah? For that, we have made the tazkiyah sheet system. The tazkiyah sheet system. That brother or sister, daughter, mother, all different ages of students are with me. All ages. All different ages. Those people who are attached to me, if you are doing these two parts, actions, stay with me. Otherwise, it's better you go somewhere else. Number one, dhikr kathir. The dhikr I've told you, do dhikr. The sheikhs, prescription of dhikr, that's called dhikr kathir. If he says to you, do these 10 tasbihs in the morning, that murid, then for that murid, this dhikr kathir. That's high quantity. Somebody 5 tasbih, somebody 6 tasbih. So for that student, dhikr kathir. The sheikh, he looks at his student according to his status and capacity. The sheikh prescribes the dhikr to the student for his mujahada. What will make him do hard work? The sheikh knows better. The teacher knows better. Do you understand what I'm saying? The second component is rejection of the sins. We have the tazkiyah sheet system. Alhamdulillah. Those individuals are doing both. Mubarak, congratulations. Sa'im mashkura, inshallah. Inshallah, Jannah is open for those people. And they're totally going to rub. And those who are not doing this, they do dhikr, they don't fill the sheet system, don't do enough, they don't do dhikr. Then I say, please accept my apologies. It's impossible to get success. Then you will get no benefit here. And benefits only at that time when you follow the tariqah of the sheikh, the teacher, and you follow it properly with faith. With faith. Not by force. Not by force. There's no forcing anyone here. This is the game of love. This is the game of love. There's no forcing anyone here, persecuting anyone, or pushing anyone. What's my benefit? I keep pushing and asking and pushing and asking. Why should I keep repeating? It's your sheets that comes, have a look at, I'm happy, I do dua for you. And then I repeat, I return it to you, alhamdulillah. Silsila continues. Yes, from a long time, it's continuing with a great connection. In the whole dunya, it's running in every place, in all corners of the world. There's a great achievement, such a system. How Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made a system. The thousands of miles away, the student sitting, and always the students attached to me. His situations arriving to me, the sheets arriving, going, we realize he's done this, he's done that, he's telling me, Hazrat Sahib, I did this sin, what shall I do now? And the sins have been extracted, alhamdulillah, people are doing this. Why? Because Allah says himself, Inna Allah la ma'al muhsinin. That when you work hard with me, then don't worry, Allah Ta'ala says, then I am traveling with you and I help you, I assist you on that path. So this is the way to find Allah, to save yourself from hell, the path and the path to go into paradise. This is the way that Allah Ta'ala has defined to us. Quran has explained this, that those people who bring faith in Allah, Yawm al-Salihah, then do good deeds, amlu salihat, and that save yourself from the sins. Yadkhulul jannata tajri min tahtihal anhar khalidina fiha abada. Isn't this a verse of the Quran? Yes, Allah has given the guarantee of the Quran. Do good deeds, leave the sins, and enter into paradise. This is the way I've been explaining to you. So you won't just get it by sitting down, giving up, oh, I prayed salah, and then you backbite as well, you lie as well, and you don't try hard as well, and do sins here, or do sins there. Oh, I'm going today on Hajj, I'm preparing, I've got passport, visa, stamp, umrah. This is no life. Is this a system of life for a person? Tell me. Is this a system of life? Have you got a system? A method? Going to umrah, you're lying after that, you're listening to music, banging instruments, and taking the burqas off, it doesn't take long, and someone's wedding comes, we go there and play games and tricks there. I don't know what kind of life we're living, and it doesn't take long for us to come to masjid. When Ramadan comes, the masjid is full, after Ramadan, masjid is empty, no one you can see in the masjid. Oh, deens come, big days come, 15th, dates come after that, forgiveness, and then it's empty. What deen is this? And we see non-believers look at us, they laugh. They laugh. What sort of game is this they're playing, these people? What deen do they have? There's no istiqamah, no consistency, no steadfastness. There's no real essence. What is the tariqah, these people? They ask the question. Am I wrong or am I right? Tell me, my friends. This is just discussing, isn't it, together. We're not, there's no speech or conference or debate. I've come from outside to give you a speech, is it? We're just discussing as friends. In the week, Allah has given us a day. We sit down, discuss, and have a chat together. Yes, but there's Islam. Allah has given us deen, the great deen of Islam. Allah has given us system and messages in the Quran. Everything is Allah explained to us, why you've come to planet Earth, what you need to do, how should you do it, where should you go, ask someone for advice. We don't do nothing of this. Whatever we feel like, just do what my heart says. Tahajjud, I'll pray tahajjud. If I don't feel like I won't do it, ishraq, I'll start ishraq. Whatever comes in the heart, we do. Read Quran, start reciting Quran, leave it the next day, leave this in the next day. What the at least have akal wisdom, is there system methodology in my life that you just practicing the deen according to your own desires and nafs? This is such a horse, it's become like the wild horse, the person. Unless you pass the wild horse into the trainer who puts the leash onto the wild horse, he doesn't get controlled. Let me tell you, the wild horse will bury you. The wild horse will bury you. Yes? That the Prophet of Allah, he screeched that, oh, my nafs is destroying me. As useful as someone, he was given that trap by that woman. And that he cried out to Allah for help. So if you're not following the Shaykh's prescription, his ta'aleem, education, you're following your nafs. You came to the Shaykh to crush your desires. How will your nafs be crushed? How? What a big deception we're in. Just I'm doing dhikr. Dhikr is not going to give you benefit on its own. Dhikr is one cure. It's a medicine. Okay, why does the Shaykh prescribe dhikr to the student? For this reason, he gives dhikr, that he is working hard, the student's working hard, he's making you leave the sins, to leave the sins. It's not easy. Those people who say, they don't lie. Okay, I won't lie, and you're writing, and you keep lying. What do we do on top of that? That every day, I gave you the sheet system. Listen carefully, I've made this system, alhamdulillah. Every single day, the sheet system is for that. Today, then in this day, you must complete the sheet. In the evening, I prayed salah, did I read Quran, I didn't leave this, I left the sins, I did my dhikr. And after that, you complete the sheet. What do other people do? 5-6 days or many days together, they fill the sheets. Astaghfirullah. What system is that? Are you following the sheet system? Ajeeb, weird. Hazrat Musa alayhi salam, qawm like this. Yeah, Allah Ta'ala said that on Saturday, don't go fishing. And they dug the holes for the fishing on Saturday. So we've come to do mujahidah to the Shaykh, and look what we started doing. 3-4 days, many days after, we fill them all together. Oh yeah, fill the sheets in. You might do this, but I've made a proper system that your Shaykh now, that don't do this in. So when the sheets come now, then we'll ask you, now show now to me such a preparation that I also have kashf. I also have the method. Yes. Peer, I'm not a peer, but the kashf comes for the murid, the kashf comes to me. This much knowledge I have, yes. The person, because I have to correct the students and I have to correct myself as well. So I will ask you that how after 3-4 days you will feel the jinn. He'll be caught now. Whoever does that, he'll be caught. Just like you used to do, no? That coming here, you're not coming here for dhikr. And you put a tick that we used to come to the majlis. So I've made such a system that online will see that they sat at home doing dhikr. So you have to show now, tick that I'm online or I'm out there physically. Does it not come in your sheet? Yes. So those people who fill the sheets, they know this. If you don't come, then you'll have to write down, tick that I did it online. If you come in physically, then you'll have to tick, it comes on the sheet. That person will be caught as well. And these people also be caught. You can't just fill the sheet, you'll have to complete the sheet regularly. So brothers, be honest. Be honest, it's not forcing this path, it's not forcing. There's no punishment we're going to give to you, that we've sat you down or give you a punishment. That I haven't collected you for dhikr, I haven't collected you for any other purpose. Dhikr is a reward for what? That you are working hard for Allah, so dhikr is done. This is just a reward. Don't think that you're doing dhikr and your sins have been extracted. Whose sin has been extracted? Show me until today. Your salah is not correct to people's salah. Fill the sheets with honesty, sincerely, inshallah, with the fadl of Allah, you'll see how much benefit will come to your life. Yes. If you really with faith want to follow this path, you want Allah's nearness, you want to be saved from hell, you want paradise, Allah's given you this path. Go find a sheikh, a teacher, then the prescription method he gives to you, practice that, just the way he tells you to do, practice that. After you practice that, Allah has promised that I will forgive you. Allah has promised. That's it. Just a little bit of hard work. He won't ask you anything else. That Allah says, according to my instructions, you fulfill that. Allah says, fine. You're successful. And we don't have any other tariqah that I'm stopping you from running a shop or a business. Nothing at all. Nothing at all. Our work is from inside. Inshallah, when the dunya comes out of your heart, you will cool down yourself. When the dunya comes out of your heart, then you'll cool down yourself. If it doesn't come out, then your dhikr is not succeeding. In the morning, your sohbat, the company of the shaykh, is not working. You are taking shortcut somewhere. Otherwise, the company of the waliyah and the love of the dunya doesn't come out of his heart. Impossible. It's because the niyah is not correct. Why? Because I've seen this with my experience. I was full of love of dunya. As soon as I sat in the company of my hazrat, the first sitting, first sight of my shaykh, the love of the dunya was eliminated. First effect was the love of the dunya was eliminated. This is the achievement, Kamal. Because the dunya is the biggest restriction to find Allah. If through the sohbat company of the shaykh, the love of the dunya has not come out of your heart, then until now, most definitely, your niyah is not correct. What is that company of that shaykh? You go to the friend of Allah's company and the dunya doesn't come out of your heart, that person's a thief. He's not correct. He hasn't come with the right intention. So very pure path is this. Very pure path is this. The walis of Allah, their path is very pure indeed. And they make the human being pure and mukhlisin. Totally, I am telling you the reality. My muamalat, don't compare me with other people that, oh, we just do dhikr, majlis, people are coming and going. This is not my situation. I have to give hisab afterwards. The accounts, the person who sent me here, my teacher, that I was given instruction. And I'm doing this as a duty. It's a duty I've been given. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yes. So you are friends, so we're discussing together. So take the benefit as long as I have life, take the benefit. I'm not saying this. Hazrat Sheikh's words are these. He said, tell your murids these three statements. He said to me, the letter's present, you can read it yourself. The letter's present, read it. So Hazrat wrote to me and said, go and read this to the students, tell them. I said to my Sheikh, how? It's present in the letter. I said that I'm ashamed to say this. So Hazrat wrote the letter. He said, give the copy. So I made the copy of the letter and I distributed it to everybody. People have the copies. I distributed that copy. I didn't say this myself, these words. Guarantee Hazrat Sahib gave that this individual I'm sending, my student, he's a ni'mah for you. He's a gift for you. Value him. And I don't know other words Hazrat Sahib said. You read that letter yourself. Read the letter yourself. So such a great wali Allah from that land, he sent me the duty, giving the guarantee to the people that this is the task you have to do. Practice like this. Then he wrote that subhanallah, unique statement, Hazrat Sahib said, that your heart will become nurani, Allah and His Rasul will come be with you and you will earn paradise. Subhanallah. Then this is not a game. I'm not a magician, my friends. I'm a khalis, pure mission that I've been given. I've come for this mission. How long I'm here, I don't know myself. This is what Hazrat Sahib wrote and he said, take benefit. I am not the same, I'm not a peer, sheer and this, you made me this, you compare me to other people with this sheikh, that sheikh. My friends, I have no comparison with other people, I'm a fakir, simple person. I don't know about places or this or titles or people's names. I am just a title I've been given, a duty I've been given, I'm doing that. Whoever comes with me in that duty, alhamdulillah. With us, a unique statement used to run in our company. Unique statement of our fakirs, of our walis of Allah. Subhanallah. So anyway, my friends, today's majlis, the summary of this is that the biggest point is, the biggest ibadah, most important worship is to reject the vice, the sins. Without that, you can't get Allah's nearness, you can't get paradise. And the tariqah I've told you to attain that, you must follow those principles and actions and make your life successful. May Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. Ameen. Recite the Ruh Sharif and let's start Dhikrullah.
لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إني كنت من
ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. يا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلبي على دينك. ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. اللهم ثبتنا على الإيمان وأمتنا على الإيمان واشهدنا يوم القيامة مع الإيمان. اللهم إنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث. يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث. يا قاضي الحاجات اقضى حاجاتنا. يا دافي البليات اشف بلياتنا. يا شافي الأمراض اشف مرادنا. اللهم عافنا في بدني. اللهم عافنا في سمعي. اللهم عافنا في بصري. لا إله إلا أنت يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث. ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما. اللهم رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا. اللهم اغفر لنا ولوالدينا وأستاذينا ومشايخنا وجميع المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.